Captain Chris Corbeil joins us. Chris, how you doing?
Doing well, but I'm not making any promises today.
Well, I was just going to say, like, how do you top that one? That one was pretty good. I remember that vividly when you came in and said, our team, we need to start better at home, and we need to just have better starts to the season. And lo and behold, you went 14-0, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, we went out and got it done. Like you said, that'll certainly be a tough one to top, so we're not making any predictions like that this year.
When you look back on last season, Chris, you know, your team was 17-3, basically, and, you know, you lose a 10-minute mini game. It's really kind of hard to criticize the overall play of a team when you won 85% of your games but lost 2-1 in a 10-minute match. So how do you look at it from a captain? What's going to be your motivation to pump up your guys for different games this season?
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but we have that mini game and last season in the back of our minds, right? We're a team that obviously had a very good season last year, but during important times of the game, we tended to play a little more lackadaisical or sort of take our foot off the pedal, so to speak. So we're going to have to play better in those crucial last few moments of games, because that's, you know, that if it comes down to that last 10 minutes and the pressure's on, we got to be able to perform.
Your team didn't make a lot of changes on the back end, and rightfully so. You're the best defensive team in the league. But I know your head coach talked about how you wanted your defense to up their game at crucial moments. Chris, how do you do that as players?
Oh, it's tough, because, I mean, it's just something you kind of have to go out there and do, right? And a large part of that is experience, and just having experience playing in those crucial moments and dying minutes of close games and stuff like that. And you know, we're a good group back there, but we're also a fairly young group. And now we've really been through the motions together. It's been the same core group for about 3 seasons back here now that have been together, and we've been through some highs and lows together, and during some pretty important games, the Champions Cup, that mini game last season that you mentioned earlier. So hopefully that experience will start paying off for us this year.
Talk about your offense. Obviously a huge blow losing Curtis Knight to, you know, your leading goal scorer, a guy who did a lot of small things. You've had an opportunity to see the number one overall pick, McIntosh, in the preseason. How did he look? How do you think he's going to fit in?
Yeah, McIntosh looked great so far. He's going to fit in very well. He's a guy that likes to play off the ball. He's a little bit of a bigger body. He'll make a lot of room for our smaller righties in Church and Jarrett Davis. So he'll fit in nicely there. Our offense is great, and yeah, we lost Curtis Knight, and that's those are going to be some tough shoes to fill, because he's a guy that not only scored a significant amount of goals for us, but he also did, like you said, those little things right, the intangibles that don't necessarily show up on the game sheet, but you know, have a large impact on the game and really influences teammates as well into doing those little things right. But with that being said, you know, Curtis was our leading scorer, but I don't think we had one single goal scorer in the top 10 or 12 scorers last year. We were really the offense by committee. We're fortunate to have a lot of floor balance. We got guys on offense that can put the ball in the net from, you know, 1 to 7. So we're lucky. And Curtis going down means other guys got to step up. But we're very confident in the group we got.
Captain of the Edmonton Rush, Chris Corbeil, joins us. Rush open up their season tomorrow night in Buffalo. You can watch that game at TSN.ca. Then they got their home opener next Saturday night when Minnesota comes to town. Chris, for you personally, individually, 17 goals, career high last year. Obviously, you finished second in defensive of the year, voting behind your teammate Kyle Rubish. You kind of joked about how, you know what, I'm not really a finisher. But when you score 17 goals, people will now look and say, well, maybe not 17 again, but do your expectations of yourself at all change offensively this year compared to maybe where you were last year at the start of the year?
It's hard for them not to when you put up 17. But I'm just trying to go into this season without, you know, looking at personal goals. And I just want to win a championship. And anything I can do to help my team win a championship, I know it sounds very cliche, but that's what I'm focused on. And, you know, points and goals aside, I don't care if I score another goal in this league as long as I'm able to get a championship and bring one back. And that's really my focus heading into this year.
Look ahead to Buffalo. What can you expect, I guess, from them as far as their offense? Where do you see who are the two guys you got to shut down as a group?
They got Dean Smith up front, who is an excellent right-handed offensive guy. He can play both ends of the floor, so we got to worry about him coming out of transition as well as just coming out the front door. Big, strong kid. He's been in the league about two seasons now, so he's just starting to find his groove. He'll be important to limit. And then another big guy you always have to watch for over there is Mark Steinhaus, who's a phenomenal athlete, one of those agitators as well. He can get under your skin, and we'll have to be careful not to get in any of the BS with him, because if he does manage to get by, he doesn't mind gloating about it and that kind of stuff. And we just got to make sure we keep cooler heads tomorrow night and keep those two guys in check, because I think those are probably their two biggest threats.
You mentioned, and that's interesting, Chris, because Buffalo last year when they played you guys, they really tried to get you guys off their game. It was the one team that I remember vividly. You know, they went after Mark Matthews a lot, clean and not clean, and took some penalties for it. And that's really kind of, you know, I guess their persona a little bit as a team. I know that, you know, the Rush are not a team that necessarily goes back at that. When's the fine line where you say, okay, you know what, as a team, we might have to stand up to it, or does it ever get to that point?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a balancing act, right? Part of it's being disciplined, and you want to be a team that stays out of the box and is able to capitalize on power plays and stuff like that. It's obviously a big help if you got an extra man up there, but at the same time, you don't want teams taking liberties on a lot of your stars, like, you know, Mark or Corey Small or Greer, whoever it may be. You want those guys to feel safe out there and like the rest of the team's got their back. So last season we actually acquired Nick Billicks, who's a bit of a tough guy and not huge in stature, but he's got a lot of fight in him, and it'll be a focus this year, especially heading into this game tomorrow night. We know what Buffalo's about, and we got to remain smart, but at the same time, team tough and standing up for one another.
Chris Corbeil, captain of the Edmonton Rush, joins us. Chris, the last one, of course. This will be the first regular season game without Derek Keenan. You guys didn't have him in the preseason, I know, and you've talked about how it's a real big void for your team. How often are you in contact with the head coach?
You know what? I text him usually on a weekly basis, but that'll probably ramp up now this weekend. That tends to be the case when we're having camp on weekends as well. I'd be getting a few extra messages from him, so that'll be the case, and I'm sure he'll have some words of encouragement for the boys before the game that I'll be able to pass along to them.
Yeah, I would think so, and definitely from his wife, Wendy. I know that's in your guys' thoughts for sure as a team. One other quick one I wanted to ask you about is the return of Corey Small to your offense, a guy who was a top 15 scorer in 2013, missed all of last year with the torn ACL, and really kind of gives your team, you know, three vaunted guys on your left side with Greer, Matthews, and him. How much does he bring to your team overall, and can he, even though he's on the opposite side of your floor, fill that void of Knight?
Yeah, he's going to play a big role in replacing that void of Curtis Knight. They are different players, and they play different sides of the floor, and they bring different skill sets to the game. But no, Corey's going to be a big help. He had a great season in the WLA, the summer league this year, put up incredible numbers. I think tied for the league lead in points. So he's a guy that can put the ball on the net, and when he gets hot, he's on fire, and he can put them by the best goalies in the league. So We're really looking forward to having him. And then, as we talked about earlier, we got Ben McIntosh inserted on the other side, our first overall pick. So, you know, we lose Knighter and we pick up those two. Knighter's a big loss, but those two will go a long way to filling the void. So I think we'll be all right.
And lastly, probably the most serious question. I know that Timber was your post-game victory song, and everybody would sing along. Rubish told me he liked to lead the charge. What is going to be the song of choice this year post-victory for the Rush?
You know what? There's been a little bit of debate, and I think it still may be to be determined. But Taylor Swift has got a couple sweet hits on right now, and I know the boys are fans of those. And
really?
Bruno Mars, I forget the name of it, something Anthem or something like that. I know that one's getting a lot of interest as well. So You know what? It's hard to predict these things. It'll really come down to see what happens after our first dub, but hopefully that'll be tomorrow night after after the game of Buffalo.
Now, who is in? Like, who is the ultimate decider of this? Like, who runs the boombox in the room?
Well, you know what? There's constant fighting and arguing over that. I'd like to say I'm in control, but realistically, I think the man really pulling the strings is Jimmy Quinlan, to be quite honest.
Oh wow, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting one. Well, Mark Mageau, of course, my co-host back at the station, he is a huge Taylor Swift fan, like beyond huge, like bordering on stalker. So I'm sure he was fist pumping back at the studio when he heard that. Mageau, what song would you recommend for Chris as a Taylor Swift post-victory song?
For a victory song, I don't know. When you guys didn't have too many losses last season, I would suggest Shake It Off when you guys lose.
But yeah, that's the trouble. Shake It Off was almost a consensus pick, but it seems like it's not appropriate for
exactly.
The circumstances, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell you what, before your guys' next home game, I will have a suggestion for which Taylor Swift victory song to play. For your next home game, that's the 10th, I believe. Gives you some time to think about it.
All right, sounds good.
Well, I know that just gives Mageau an excuse to listen to every one of her songs this weekend in depthly. So that's good you gave him some homework, Chris. Always good to talk to you, man. Good luck tomorrow in Buffalo.
Thanks a lot, Jason. Have a good one.